lots of tension and concern about where Boeing is going to put its 777X project. As many as 57,000 jobs at Boeing and related businesses could be affected by that. It's widely believed that Washington can't win the bid without cooperation from the machinists' union. Only 8 machinists showed up yesterday to a march meant to urge both parties back to the bargaining table, although for the second day in a row, machinist union officials met with Boeing. Joining us with more on this, John Ostrower, aerospace reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Great to have you back, John.
Hey, Ross. Thanks for having me.
So also, there was the deadline for the proposals to Boeing to try to win the 777X to states. Have we learned anything about what those bids look like?
We actually haven't. And that's actually a really important factor here as far as the incentive process goes. A lot of these states have really spoken effusively about their interest in Boeing and bringing Boeing and the 777X to their state. But that typically ends right as they begin talking about what incentives they would offer, which has all gone on behind closed doors. So while the process is unfolding, only Washington and Missouri have explicitly detailed what they would offer Boeing in exchange for welcoming the 777X to their respective states. So a lot of this process is really shrouded in a great deal of secrecy, and in a lot of respects, we're not going to know on the outside in any kind of formal disclosure what these states offered Boeing unless they're actually selected.
Now, will other states have to match Washington State's $8.7 billion tax break to be viable contenders for the 777X?
Not necessarily. Certainly, the $8.7 billion figure is also reflective of how much of a presence Boeing already has in the state. Because they build the 737 here, 47, 67, most of the 787s are here. Because of that, Boeing's current presence inherently drives up their tax bill just by their very existence here. So from a proportional perspective, it wouldn't necessarily be a one-to-one as far as $8.7 billion in Washington or $8.7 billion somewhere else. But a lot of the states who are competing also say that, well, we can offer a smaller comparative package for the same effect because we don't have the types of business and occupation taxes that Washington State has.
Now, on the heels of the legislature passing this $8.7 billion tax break to Boeing and the governor signing it into law, the machinists union balked at an offer to extend their contract. They said it was unfair and they didn't have enough time to prepare for it. Things looked pretty bleak at the time, but now for the second day in a row, Boeing Commercial Airplanes chief executive Ray Conner has been sitting down with the machinists union. We don't know what's going on behind those closed doors, but what do you think might be going on?
Well, like any good drama, one chapter ends and another will immediately begin to keep us on the edge of our seats as we follow this. Certainly what we've seen thus far is the first round of this is the rejected contract back on November 13th. You see the competitive bidding process, which just came to an end yesterday with the submission of the RFPs from the states. And now here we are back with Boeing and the machinists back at the table. Whether that's a negotiating table is still something that neither side will say if there's any proposals being passed back and forth, that they're really just kind of informal talks that are discussing 777X but not negotiating 777X.
Yeah, they've even said, we're not negotiating, we're just talking.
Well, I think what's notable here is that throughout the last, five-plus years, Boeing and the IAM representatives, when dealing with these really formal discussions about specific either programs or contracts, have done so in secret, behind closed doors, even in secret from hidden from the membership themselves. Happened in 2011 when they were negotiating the 737 MAX. Happened again earlier this fall when we saw discussions around 777X and the 8-year deal that was eventually rejected. So we haven't seen this type of open discussion where you were seeing a day-by-day notification of the fact that these sides are talking since effectively 2008 when they last negotiated their major contract.
John Ostrower is speaking with me. He's the aerospace reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Would Boeing make these carbon fiber wings for the 777X in one place and possibly assemble the jet in another place? Could these two jobs be split up?
It is possible, and what we've seen from their request for proposal that Boeing is shopping around to the states is that that's something that they're actively looking at. Initially, it was thought that the wing was just too big to move. So it appears that as Boeing has gone through this process, they've entertained and really examined a way to move these massive carbon fiber composite wings from one state to the other to get to the final assembly site where they put the whole thing together and deliver it. But the key is that the question now shifts from, okay, it's logistically possible, but how much does it cost? And whether or not those considerations will ultimately play in to where Boeing ends up putting the 777X and its wing manufacturing.
John, you're reporting today that Air Canada is in exclusive talks with Boeing for at least 50 of those 737 jets. How significant is this deal?
Well, actually, it's unrelated to the 777X that we've all been hearing about over the last several months. But it's an important deal insofar as there was a ongoing process between Boeing and Airbus bidding to supply Air Canada with aircraft that were 150 to 200 seats, which is kind of the sweet spot for the Airbus and Boeing single aisle jets that both are really known for. And now what Air Canada has moved into, based on my reporting, is that they're now just in exclusive talks with Boeing on this. So it's not that Boeing has won the deal, but that it is a major swing in Boeing's direction. And it's really important to keep in mind that Airbus is actually, for these size jets, Air Canada currently is an Airbus operator of these aircraft. So it would be a swing back in Boeing's favor for an operator traditionally used to buying its European rival.
Finally, John, since this kind of breakup between Boeing and Washington State, where they're actively looking at other places to build their next jet, some have suggested to us that since Boeing doesn't appear to be loyal to Washington State, Washington State should be courting other airplane manufacturers to move here. Is that even a possibility?
Well, it's certainly a possibility, but there are a few uphill factors that come along with that. The state of Washington has made no secret that when they go to air shows, either in Paris or London or Dubai, they want to be talking to other manufacturers. So to tell them about what is going on in Washington, the base of labor that exists in the state, but also what comes with that is a geographical challenge. What we see for Airbus setting up shop in Mobile is that being right on the Gulf Coast, you have easy access to a port that can make a beeline for the Atlantic Ocean to any suppliers that would be in Europe. Being on the opposite side of the country, with the Panama Canal in the middle, makes it a lot harder.
Yeah,
especially when you talk about Airbus specifically.
Right.
There have been discussions about Japanese suppliers potentially setting up shop in Washington State. Those obviously haven't materialized, but I certainly understand from speaking with state officials that courting other manufacturers is very much in the cards. And even if you look at a state like Alabama, where they're going to have an Airbus factory on the Gulf Coast in Mobile, they're simultaneously courting Boeing for Huntsville up north.
Hmm.
So it's like an East Coast reference, but Connecticut split between the Yankees and the Red Sox, all under one roof.
Okay, I think we get that one. John Astrar, thank you so much. John Astrar, aerospace reporter for the Wall Street Journal. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.